Name, Suzanne Nicolaisen. Age, 39. Today's date, March 26th, 2009. Location, Salt Lake City. Relationship to partner is I'm his daughter.
I'm Henry J. Johnson, Jr. I'm 82. And this is March 26, 2009, in Salt Lake City. And I'm the father.
Okay, so I wanted to talk to you about your life. And I think a good place to start would maybe be the fireworks story, just because it shouldn't be missed. If you wanted to tell us about that. And it ties nicely into your career, too.
Well, I wanted to jump back.
Okay.
And say that, give a little biopsy here. Not biopsy.
Biography?
Biography. I was born in Hartford, Connecticut. February 12th, 1927. I'm three-quarter Irish descent and Catholic. Well, I was Catholic at that when I was born. My mother is Madeline Reedy, and she's third-generation Irish. Her great-grandparents came over 1860. My father, his name is actually John Henry Johnson, but I made him a senior and I took the junior. His mother immigrated from Ireland as a young girl actually, with her sister in 1872.
Do you know why they came?
What?
Why did they come? Do you know why they moved? I mean, that's a big move.
They wanted to get out of Ireland, I guess.
Better life.
My father, my father's mother is Irish. He's not. The Johnson came from New York. I traced the genealogy back. Six generations. They're still living in New York, and they're farmers.
Really?
That takes us back. I followed it back to 1750. Now you could go ahead and ask me your questions.
Okay, so your mom was a nurse and your dad was a fireman, right?
No, my mom wasn't a nurse.
What was your mom? I thought I saw
telephone operator.
Okay.
Oh, she was. She did take nursing training.
Okay, I saw some pictures of
her. Long before I was born.
Okay. So, I guess I thought that was ironic when we were working on your story, you know, that she was a nurse and you were upstairs with your fireworks and little sister.
You want to hear about the fireworks story?
I still do, yeah.
When I was 12 years old, I was able to buy fireworks. I had a catalog from the Black Cat Firework Company in Baltimore, Maryland. And I saved my money for cutting grass and doing errands. And I bought an order of $9.50, which contained skyrockets, Roman candles, and big salutes, torpedoes, and other types of things. Things you would buy up in Wyoming today. I also got 5 or 6 packages of 1-inch salutes, which came wrapped up in bundles. So you could fire them either way. The whole bundle could go off, or you could do one at a time. To do one at a time, I had to unwrap the each individual one. So there goes my tale. I'm sitting on my bed. I've got a box next to me. And my sister is at the foot of my bed. And I'm unwrapping these things and dropping them into the box. And this is going on for some time when one of the wicks came out, fell out of the firework. And I picked it up and I put it in a tray that was on a shelf above the box. There was an ashtray up there. And I lit it because I knew it would sparkle a little bit. And to my surprise, it sparkled a heck of a lot. And one of those sparks went into the box. And I saw my first chain reaction. When one spark became 2, became 4, became 16, and on up. And I knew we had a problem. So I threw the box on the floor. I grabbed my sister and practically threw her out the door. And just as I was closing the bedroom door, it exploded into a big bomb. My mother, who had been downstairs in the kitchen, showed up and 2 seconds. And she called the fire department. It wasn't where my father worked, but it was another one that was close by. I proceeded to get out of the house, and within minutes, I was standing with a group of kids I didn't even know. I don't know where they came from. And I was watching the firemen throw things out the window, like my mattress and my Sunday suit, the only one I had. I was surprised I got off of that one pretty lightly. And the repairs didn't cost too much.
That was pretty lucky.
That was the end of that story.
I thought another one that really was neat that I hadn't heard until we started working on your movie was about the plane when you were up in the library at school, when you first got your real excitement about the Air Force.
Well, I was a sophomore in high school, and World War II is in full session. It was about 1943. And I was up in the library on the second floor. And I happened to be staring out the window, or I would have missed the whole thing. Just as I was looking, this fighter plane buzzed the school and went right past the window. I made up my mind that I wanted to get into the Air Force, or the Army Air Corps, as it was called in those days. And within the following year, I joined the Civil Air Patrol. I went to the Civil Air Patrol. I enlisted in the Army Air Corps for flight training. I had just turned 17 when I did that. I was not called up until I was 18 and a half. That was 1945. I went in July. The war in Europe was over in April of 45. And while we were finishing up basic training, they dropped the bomb on Japan, the atomic bomb. That's it.
Wow. Okay. I guess when you got out of the occupation, when you came home from Europe, that's when you kind of found your motivation and really kind of your path for your career. I was wondering, it wasn't quite necessarily what maybe you wanted to be. You wanted to be a fighter pilot, like you were saying. Can you maybe talk a little bit about how you found your path to Northrop and your career?
Well, after I went into service and finished my basic training, they sent me to Scott Field in Illinois to be trained as a teletype mechanic. I should say that flight training was all closed out because the war was just about over. That led an interesting path. The course was 10 weeks long. At 8 weeks, they pulled me out with another fella, and they sent us to the firehouse to be firemen on the night shift. The class finished up in the 10th week, and they went over to Europe. After they were gone, I went back to my commanding officer, and I asked, what are we going to do here? And he didn't have the answer, but a week later, I got transferred to Eglin Airfield down in Florida. They soon found out I wasn't a teletype mechanic. the last 2 weeks of the course are the most important, where you do the troubleshooting. It just so happens that at about that time, this is January 1946, Congress, because so many soldiers were getting out of the service, it was going to leave them shorthanded for the Army of Occupation. So the Congress came through and passed a bill that allowed 1 year enlistments. So I signed up for 1 year. Now, I'd been in for 9 months at this time. I signed up for 1 year. They gave me a month, 1 month furlough, and I went home. Then I showed up at Greensboro, North Carolina, after my month, to go through processing, and was shipped over to Europe on a Liberty ship. As we were approaching, going through the English Channel, they told us we were going to land at Bremerhaven, Germany, and we were going to be the first ship there. They told us at that time that all the mines in the harbor had been removed as far as they could tell.
Wow.
So we landed in Bremerhaven, without incident. We got on freight cars, 48s, and we traveled straight south to Butte, and then over to an airfield outside of Butte called First and Philbrook. We got processed there. It got sent to a Hirschfeld, just outside of Linz, Austria. My first job, or first assignment when I checked in, was to be a clerk typist for the commanding officer. Nothing was said about whether I knew how to type or not. So I started taking typing lessons. I had various other jobs while there. And in January 1947, we returned home. We left through Bremerhaven, and our ship had the first shipment of war brides going back to the States. These are brides that married soldiers over there. I got out of the service. First thing I did, we got out at Fort Dix, New Jersey. And the first thing I did was take the train up to New York City. I went to Times Square. At Bond's clothing store, I bought a suit, a shirt, tie, pants. Put my uniform in the duffel bag. I took a taxi out to LaGuardia Airport and got on an American Airline DC-3 and flew all the way to Hartford, about 100 miles. Now, I'm getting to answer your question. I had various jobs in the next couple of years, but I ended up working for the Connecticut State Police as a radio mechanic. My primary jobs was to install radios in the police cruisers and climb 185-foot towers, their radio station, for their individual radio stations. They had eight around the state. And all I had to do was change light bulbs. In December of 1950, I got a letter and a catalog from a school in Hawthorne, California. The name was Northrop Institute of Technology. And they were inviting me to go out to go to school for aeronautical engineering. I probably got blank for a minute.
Is that like the GI Bill? Or?
Well, yes.
That they knew about you?
One of the things they mentioned was that the GI Bill was going to run out in July of 1951.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't ready to go. I was married by then and had a son. And I'd like to go. And again, I like to stay home. I found out in January that the police academy was going to take a new group of to go through their police training academy. So I went up to personnel, and I told them I wanted to go. And the guy in charge says, without batting an eye, he says, you can't. He knew me well enough. I said, why not? He says, you're not 25. I said, I'll be 25 in February. He said, nope, you got to be signed up on January 31st.
Wow, just that short time.
On March 1st, I was headed for California. And I started school in April of 1951. An 8-week course of pre-engineering, which basically was a refresher course in all the technical subjects. And in June 1st, or July 3rd, we started the classes. It took 2 years, and we went year-round, so we had equivalent to 3 years, and I graduated. Then I got into the aircraft field. Do you want the whole history of my jobs?
I don't know. I was wondering, like, you know, the questions that I had sent you. I don't know if you wanted to. I had never heard of an aero bracero. Of course, when my friends asked me, what does your dad do? And I was like, he's an aeronautical engineer. And I could barely wrap my tongue around the phrase. And I didn't know what you did. I knew there were top secret, you know, garbage cans at work, you know, with like these weird covers on them and, you know, the little signs. And so I was like, okay, and you didn't talk about it at home that much. So I didn't really know what you did. And I'm sure my friends didn't either, you know, when they're like, you know, what's your dad do? So, I don't know if you wanted to explain what, you know, the was following
is. You want to know what an aero bracero is.
Yeah, and how it affected your family and maybe, you know, your friends that you guys stayed connected as you, I mean, it was basically following the contracts, you know, the
well,
jobs
I,
and the
I
government.
I had to find out what it was myself. Upon graduation, I went back to Connecticut. My wife had gone back, before me because she was pregnant with Joanne. No, with Chicky. I'm confused. Let me back up. There's a couple of things I left off.
Okay.
I said I was married when I went to school. After we were there a year, my son came down with leukemia. And he died. He died 3 weeks after Joanne was born. And this was the start of my second year.
Did Lorraine stay out there with you then, or did she go home for a while to her mom, or?
Well, she went back. We both went back for the wedding.
Or for the funeral?
Funeral.
Yeah.
I hope this whole thing's being edited before the...
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
She went back and stayed there for a month, and then came back out. I went back for the funeral and came out to go to get back in school.
And so she had... So Chicky died three weeks before Joanne was born?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot to go through.
And the baby was born, so she had a baby in her arms when she went home. Jeff was born the week, let's see, Lorraine went home before graduation. She never attended my graduation. She went home because the doctor advised her. And Jeff was born. We went out in July, finished in July, and he was born in August. All right, so I went back to Connecticut I work for United Aircraft at Hamilton Standard. United Aircraft is an engine manufacturer, and Hamilton Standard, which is a branch, I was working on aircraft air conditioning units. I found out that there was a lot of discrimination because I didn't have my degree. And my boss let me know. So I stayed there for 2 years, and then we went back to California. And I went to work for Northrop. And worked for Northrop for I think it was 2 years. That was 56 to 58. I worked on a T-33 trainer, an airplane. And on the fuel system, I got laid off because of labor cutbacks. And that's when I found out what an air bracero was. A bracero would follow the crops. An air bracero would follow the contracts. I had heavy trouble finding a job. I got a job at Aerojet General Corporation outside of Sacramento, California. And that's when I found out about the Navy's fleet ballistic missile called the Polaris. It was just being developed. It was to carry atomic bombs and be fired from a submarine underwater.
Was this when you first started to work on it?
Yes. We worked on it for 2 years before it got down to testing in Florida off the Cape, at Cape Canaveral. And it was fired, I believe the date was 1960 or 61, successfully. I worked for Aerojet from 1958 to 1968. I worked on the Polaris A1. I also worked on a nuclear rocket motor, rocket engine. The difference between a motor is that it has solid propellant inside it, where a rocket engine has plumbing and has liquid flowing through the pipes.
Okay. So it's got something keeping it running, then.
Yeah, so
okay.
You don't hear too much about nuclear rocket motors. This was the DERVA program. And my particular job was to perfect the interface between the rocket motor and the rocket test stand, where they could plug the motor in remotely, because once it's fired, it would be radioactive. And they had to do it with very special equipment. So you had to connect the pipes remotely. You had to attach the motor, the engine, remotely to the test stand, and you had to plug in all the electrical connectors. It was an easy job.
Sounds like it.
But the contract, I might say when I went to Aerojet, the employment was 7,000 people. It reached 22,000. And when I left, it was 7,000 again.
Wow, that's a huge up growth, and then
they never got any. Well, I was on the Polaris A1. They did the Polaris A2. They did half of the Polaris A3. They didn't do any more after that. And there was three more iterations of that design.
And you worked on the Polaris again, didn't you? The A4 and A5?
Well, before I went working on the DERFA program, I knew the situation at Aerojet was declining. And one day, I saw that some engineers from McDonnell Douglas in Los Angeles were going to be up.
We're at 10 minutes.
We're going to be up there in Sacramento interviewing. I went down and interviewed, got a job offer. But they were so slow about getting the clearance and the physical that I got the job on DERFA 2 years later when I got ready to leave. I called up the guy I interviewed, and he said, "Come on down, we got a job for you." And on that job, I worked on the upstage program, which was an attempt to destroy an incoming warhead.
So kind of Star Wars kind of stuff under Reagan?
Yeah. In 72 to 92, 20 years, I worked for Lockheed Missiles and Space Company as a resident engineer. And I worked Lockheed was the prime contractor for the Fleet Ballistic Missile. And I worked on the C-4 design and the D-5 design. And the D-5 is still being built today. It was interesting. The D-5 went through 19 pad tests. Pad launches and flights without a failure. When they put the first one into the submarine and tested it, it failed. It came out of the sub and out of the water, and I have a picture of it spiraling in a circle just before they blew it up. And the problem was that the force of water coming up, following the missile through the water, hit the back end and threw the nozzle to the right, broke apart, and that caused the thing to fly in a circle. It had to be destroyed. From then on, there was never a failure in that bird. We could go out for another half hour.
Oh, yeah, I know. Is there anything in particular else that you wanted to say before we get to that? Like your computer, when you were the human computer, and then that moment you remember you saw it for what it was when you were seeing things printed in real time?
When I was at school, the school had a contract with the Navy at Point Magoo, California. And they sent over what they called OGRAPH records of test data. And we had to convert the test data through different formulas to be able to present it on graphs so that it was understandable, time versus pressure, time versus acceleration. It took us about a week to convert all that information. While I was at Aerojet, I often went to test voter test firings, and in about 1967, I was at a firing, and I noticed behind me that as the motor fired, the data was being converted on a computer as we were standing there.
So all those hours of time now.
So the motor fired for 1 minute, and the test data was sitting there at the end of it.
Wow.
I didn't know I was a human computer back in 1954, I realized that when I was stood there and watched this computer doing its job.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Go ahead, ask your questions.
Well, I guess I just wanted. Sorry. To tell you how proud I am of you. And thank you for protecting us. You know, all of your work on these missiles. While scary and controversial and all that, was about protecting all of America. So, thank you.
You know, if we had more time, I could tell you about my youth during the Depression. That was the Great Depression. We're having another one today.
Yeah.
And actually, it turns out that it never bothered me. Both my father and my mother had jobs. My father was a farmer for the city of Hartford. And matter of fact, we even had, between my uncle and my father, we had a summer cottage out at the lake. And we had no problems at all. We weren't rich, but we had jobs. They had jobs. And
there are lots of stories you have about going out to the lake.
Yeah.
And sailing and fireworks and fun.
My early school years were at a parochial school through grade 9. And then I went out into the wide, wild world at a high school, which was really different. And after that, I had 2 years there before I went to service. I got my high school diploma when I got back from the service.
So you experienced the wide world in Europe and then came back and got
I had to do was take a couple of courses, take a test, and they gave me an equivalency diploma.
Okay, cool.
So I could go into my sailing experience, but that's a story under its own.
But it's very cool, all the stories.
How I sailed. I had two boats. I sailed one of them, an 8-footer, underneath in San Francisco Bay under the Golden Gate Bridge.
In a race, right?
Huh?
Weren't you in a race?
You were in a race. And that's the highlight of one of the highlights of my sailing career, to look up there at that bridge from way down. And really close to the water.
Yeah.
But I made it across to the set. I went from Sausalito to St. Francis Yacht Club. And
in a windmill class, was it?
No, that was the big boat.
Okay.
That was 16-footer. This was a little El Toro. And the tide was coming in. That's why I sailed up to the bridge, because the tide was going to drag me down. I aimed the boat straight across. So I was sailing across, but the tide was pushing me to the east. And I missed the harbor to the yacht club by 100 yards. And tacked back up and snuck in there. I noticed later on some of the guys weren't as smart as I were. They came downwind, and they were tipping over.
Oh, no.
There's many more stories with the windmill, which is a class boat.
So,
and I'm glad that you worked at me to bring about this interview and my CD disc that tells a practice. But has pictures and tells about the same story. And you're responsible for that. And now I think I'll go and finish my life story.
Okay, I'll be first one to read it, I hope. Or second, after Mom.
Well, we'll publish it.
You could email it to all the kids.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Dad.